there's something that's not dogmatic. Okay? It is good for us to talk about it, to study it, to understand what we can. But as we know the scriptures, some things we just have to take by faith and realize that, hey, this is what God wants us to see, this is what God wants us to get from it, and we may not have a clear answer until we get to heaven, alright? Now, the whole purpose of Hosea is to see how Israel had committed adultery against God, and the whole area of restoration and all that comes back. That's the whole purpose of this. And also to see with Hosea himself and all that, it's a purpose for us as well to see some truths of that. Now there's some things as we get it in, and we'll get into tonight a little bit, and we'll talk through when we get through here. Go ahead, Hosea chapter 1. And Jeremy, would you mind reading verses 1, verse 2 for us, please, of chapter 1? Okay, let's ask a couple questions as we get into this. How was the word revealed to him? How was the word of the Lord revealed to Hosea? Says the word of the Lord is revealed. How is it revealed? What's that? Okay, the Lord spoke to him. Okay, the Lord spoke to him, gave him his word. He said, okay, this is what I want you to do. He gave him this clear word. Now let me ask you this. How does God speak to us today? How does God reveal his word to us today? Through the word of God. Prayer. God reveals himself to us. He reveals his word to us through his word and through prayer. Now, in that day, many times, God would speak to them. And can obtain was an audible voice. How many think it was an actual voice from heaven booming down that said, this is what you need to do? There's no right or wrong answer. I'm just asking your thoughts. How many thought about that before? Okay. It says that God talked to the man. So there's sometimes it could have been an audible voice like this. How does God do we hear a voice from heaven today? feel boredom. All right. But what is verse 3? Look at verse 3. What? Okay. So today, I can't even say that word. Yep. So we went to Gomer. Now, wait a second. He went to this land. It could refer to the land being general Horam. It's one of the general thoughts out there. But to take that, to go to this land and think of this, going in this land. But what was he so soon when he went to the land? Taking him as his wife, and who did he take? Gomer. Now let me ask you a question. As we look at this, does God's will always make sense to us? No, because why would God want to go to this area? And we can say it's a whole area, we can say it was an individual, we can say it was just a Gomer. There's some that even say that the reason God told him to do this is because that was what Hosea's heart was. Hosea wanted to marry Gomer, and there's some. We don't know that. It's been speculation, us looking into that. But God's will doesn't always make sense to us. God's plan is God's plan, and He knows everything of that. Wouldn't we try to do a lot of times with God's plan? Case we try to use man's logic, man's understanding. We try to figure out ourselves. And looking at this, when you meet through this, now it's good to talk about it, but a lot of this does make a whole lot of sense. Because you look at it and you say, well, why would God want this to happen and that to happen? Well, why would God even encourage you to go to the land and take it away from it, knowing that the individuals in this land aren't going to be godly? So is this teaching? Now, this is one of the thoughts I want to bring up. That's out there in some of our commentaries. One of the thoughts is, God, this is showing it's okay to go ahead and marry anyone you want to marry, and it's okay to do so because God gave him permission to do that. Okay? So is this whole thing, this example, the comparison as we get through this, look at in verse 2 though. It says, I want you to see something taken unto the wife of whoredoms and children of whoredoms. Why would God tell them to take a wife of whoredoms? Now, I understand an example. I understand teaching. I understand that, but does that not go against other principles of the Word of God? Does that not go against the thing? Is it not ever right to do wrong? Is it right to go ahead and do things that you shouldn't do because that's what you believe God has told you to do? But the tradition ever triumphs truth. And there's a lot of different thoughts on if it's ever right or not right, different circumstances for that. This is what I wanted to hear. Say it again. Okay. If God tells you to do something, even though we don't fully comprehend it, we need to follow God. And here's my hope. I'll give you my 2 cents. What it's worth is basically it's going along what we've been discussing. This is talking about Israel. It's talking about the people of Israel. He was to go to this nation who was turned back against God. And he was to take a wife from that. Now, I brought all this other stuff to kind of play devil's advocate. thinking, because this is a lot of the different thoughts that are taught out there today about this. Now, verse 2 is very disputed. And it has been debated about the timing of the wife's unfaithfulness. Some believe when he first found Gomer, she was not her litter, not those things, but then it turned that way. Now, we don't know that from Scripture. We don't know that, and some people say, well, that's why it was okay for him to marry this lady of Israel, because she was okay, she was, and then she turned and went unfaithful. We're not sure of the exact timing when this individual became. Now, could have been the daughter, this is the wife of whoredom. So it could have been a daughter of that. That's another philosophy or thought out there. It could have been, now she's, now it says she's the daughter of Adullam, and he was, as you study that up, this individual was known for not good things. The Bible only mentions this individual once. But if you go to Josephus and some of the history books of those times, you can get some understanding and teaching, and you'll find out, you know, it could have been the family, or it could have been her in general. We don't know exactly. But what we do know, as we go on and paint the picture of this, the picture of even Gomer is a certain unfaithfulness, because we know what happened and even an opportunity for her and all the things that takes place. And so that's something to keep in mind as we start to go through this. Adore's name carries the meaning of completion. She was one of complete beauty. And as we were setting up Hosea, we'll find out she's one of complete sinfulness. So it could have been her, could have been her family, but as you study this out and go through this, you see how she acts, you see her unfaithfulness, you see even Hosea trying to get things right. She doesn't want to get things right. All that takes place throughout this book here. She had her way, but her way would come to an end, and her life would be broken. And so she's tries to do things her way, doesn't settle it, then we know the end result. Looking into that as we go through this as well. Gomer is a picture. Look at Haggai chapter 1 and look at verse 6. Well, let's read verses 4 through 6 there. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Bezalel, for yet a little while, and I will revenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Judah, and will cause the cease of the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. And she conceived again, bear a daughter. And God said unto him, call her name. And whoever could say that right, you get a free prize there. Uthma, for I will have no more. I will have no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but early take them away. Alright, so we have this original picture of all the wrong that she did, leaves her empty, leaves her dissatisfied. Now we get into the naming of the children here. Now, naming the children is very interesting in the Word of God. Now, the name of the first child is Israel. Now, does that sound familiar to anyone? Or the date that should sound familiar to you? There's the valley. What's that? There's the valley, Israel. When we were in Israel, do you remember that, Brother Dick? Where I almost went over the cliff? There, that's the valley there. The valley of Israel. This is where the final battle of Armageddon will take place, in the valley of Jezreel. Also, it is born in the name there, that name means God will scatter. God will scatter. Now, as we studied before, names in the Bible play a role. They play importance. It wasn't just a name given. Their name had meaning, and the meaning went with the individual in that. So God will scatter. The name gives us the idea that God will scatter the Jewish people. And scattering here is the idea of chaos and confusion. Who knows in times of scripture where there is chaos? God scattered the people. But there's one thing that comes to your mind, anyone? Tower of Babel. All right? The battle of Gideon. Anyone else is another time. And that scattering causes chaos and confusion there. Now, we're giving you a lot of this, and as we get into this through the weeks, it's going to make sense, all right? It's going to come together. There. Israel is also the plain between those. The royal city was in it. The Lord threatens to break the bow of Israel in the valley of Israel. Israel scattered by the Lord. Israel is one that prevails by the strength of the Lord. So, in the valley of Israel, where Israel's vow will be broken, and this is battle is very important in the life of Israel. Now, he takes this daughter here, which conceived and bare a son, and the Lord said unto him, call his name, and gave his name, and I will avenge the blood of Israel. What does that mean? On the house there. Why would he avenge? What is that talking about? We're getting into Hosea. We're getting into what's taking place. He takes this individual Gomer. We'll find out who she really is as we go through this whole thing. But now she bears a son and bears some other kid that we're going to get into in a few minutes. Well, actually, probably next week. But in Jezreel, we see this, and it says, I'm going to do this. Okay. Okay. Call his name Jezreel for yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu. And will cause to seize the kingdom of the house of Israel. Goldburn. Thank you. there is that is out there. There is a thought out there that this could be a type and a picture. Very good. Anyone else? But I'll speak at once. What does it mean in our revenge? The blood. The house Israel will be no more. What is this saying? Who is going to have a final victory? God's going to have a final victory. What's going to happen now? Again, this whole thing is a picture. And that's where you get the type and that there. But this whole thing is a picture of what happens in an example. And this whole thing is, as we see this and look at this, is a relationship that Israel's supposed to have with God, but because of where Israel's at, they did not have the right relationship with God, and because of that, what you're going to face, remember, those are here last week. This is the last warning given to them before captivity. This is the last warning given to them before they're going to face this destruction that's going to come their way. And because of that, God is trying to wake them up. Now, again, we don't always understand why God does what he does, but God is giving them this picture, this teaching, for them to understand this city. But God is telling them, guess what? My will is still going to be done no matter what you do. Because he's going to avenge his blood. And Israel's going to have to face the captivity if they don't turn to God. And we're going to see what happens to her if she doesn't turn back to God. What a picture it is to us. What type of relationship are we supposed to have with God? But how many of us committed spiritual adultery with God? How many of us committed spiritual adultery with God and are not living the way we should? And not doing exactly what we're supposed to be doing. See, this is the whole picture, the whole thing that we go through this. This is what God wanted Israel to see. But I believe this is what God wants to see. Is many times we are committing spiritual adultery and we're not living the way we should. But guess what? Even if we don't do what we should, God's will still chosen people. God is still going to have a remnant. God is still going to protect Israel. God is still going to come in the form of the Lord Jesus Christ as the promised Messiah. Everything's going to take place. Does God need us? Let me ask you this. Does God need you? Does God need me? No. He chooses to use us. I don't know why sometimes. But what are we supposed to be? We're supposed to be right with Him, have a right relationship with Him. God doesn't have to have us. He doesn't need us. But He wants us, and He wants us to be used of Him, and He wants us to have the right relationship with Him. And if we don't have the right relationship with Him, we're not going to be able to be the tools or be used of God the way God wants to use us. God had plans, and God wanted to use Israel. But Israel, because of their sin and because of their spiritual adultery, were not used to the full capacity or capability that they could have been. Is that true in our lives? Because of our sin and because of our spiritual adultery, God doesn't use us, or we're not used of God. Let me rephrase that. We're not used of God to our full potential of what God could do in and through our lives. There's a lot of individuals I believe God can do great things with. And God will use them in mighty ways. But I believe because of spiritual adultery, because the relationship with God is not right, they've never used and been used the way God could use them. And that is something, as we look through the book of Hosea, we need to examine ourselves. Now, this area of Israel, the valley there, that's where the final battle of Armageddon is going to take place, and all that's going to happen, and blood is going to be shed there. And there's going to be a lot taking place there. Study the book of Revelation, you'll see the picture there. Anyone have any other thoughts? Just a few verses we looked at tonight. We're going to get into the other names next week. Anyone have any other thoughts that are there? So, if you get time, read through the rest of chapter 1. next week and look at that a little bit throughout the next chapter of next week of Hosea there. And get kind of understanding of where we're going. So we've had an introduction, we're started in here, we're looking now a little bit of Gomer and all that's taking place, and again, there's a lot of different thoughts on that. Then application to ourselves, but as we go through the book of anybody have any other comments or any other thoughts tonight before we move into the time of prayer? All right, go digging for Boltons. Any new progress updates, praises? Do pray for Dave Carlos' grandson, Danny. They took him yesterday, and he was having major trouble. Those that know, he knows he has MD. And he's actually past his age where he's supposed to look to. He's in an ICU. He was having major struggles breathing, and he does have pneumonia. They are doing some things trying to help him. They believe one of his lungs could have collapsed in the whole process. So do pray for the grandson Danny. And so he's in St. Louis, Boise there in the children's ICU. So do lift him up in prayer. Do you prepare for Tanya tomorrow? She goes in for surgery on her hand. And so pray for that. And it should be a pretty simple procedure. But do you pray? They do put her under, so I can get anything that I want. She's kind of loopy, right? Is that when we ask questions, Steve? And so do pray for her and for her son at all. Okay, so pray for her her sister Sandy, see the sister pray for the granddaughter, and no baby yet, and so the baby doesn't come between now and Saturday. They will do some pray for the family and everyone involved, and you said that she's about 42 weeks now, so she's ready. So do pray for them. Another prayer request to favor our government. Okay, pray for Josiah for employment. Okay, praise to your brother-in-law, start work. Tomorrow, it's only the day of tonight. So pray for Matt as he starts the job up tomorrow. The prayer he's able to start yesterday. The prayer he's able to handle it. just a praise, a wink, he's doing better, and the mission's going well, and just pray that all goes with his plan, that they're able to retire in May, and with the local pastor and his wife taking things over. So pray for Dick, he goes to Monday for another heart procedure.